Pray with me. Lord Jesus, right now, I want to pray that you would allow this word to be etched, synchronized, and to dominate the hearts of those who've come to hear the Word of God today. Ready? I want you to hear this word. Undefeated. Undefeated. But let that sink in. Undefeated in the name of Jesus. Amen. Undefeated. Can you say it with me? Undefeated. I'm going to talk about today the one thing that's undefeated. What do you think it is? Love. Love. True, absolute love is undefeated. You cannot get rid of it. It is the essence of who Jesus Christ is. He is God's love. He is the example of God's reality of love in humanity. Love is undefeated. How many of y'all would like to live undefeated? So I want to encourage you today. Ready? It's going to be kind of a sermon that says, okay, let's get ready to love in such a way that the world might change. Let's get ready to really understand who we are in Jesus Christ. I want you to know this right out of the hatch today in this sermon. You ready? If you're in Jesus Christ, your mentality has been transferred from death to what? Okay, so watch this. Automatically in you, if you'll go deep into Christ, you are to overcome. That means you should live undefeated. Because you're not going to be defeated. And I think one of the things that's happened in the church is we kind of feel like second-class citizens in the world. Have you noticed how Christians always cower down, or they step back, or they kind of have this mentality that's kind of, I'm just a little less than everybody else. Well, that would be absolutely contrary to who you really are. Because all your sins have been forgiven. What are you full of?
Love. What if we got this dangerous? Don't touch me, I'm full of love.
Be careful when you get around me. I'm so filled with God's love, I might love the hell out of you. It might leave you if you're next to me because I want to be saturated with what? The love of God. Now I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 3 and I want you to see the mentality of I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to be defeated because I'm not defeated. Roger, you know what I found out? If you think you're undefeated, you are a few steps closer to losing. How many of y'all have ever played a game or you've been involved in something and you stepped into it thinking you were going to lose? I mean, before you even got on the field, you had the thoughts of losing. Well, that's guarantee that you're not going to be the best of everything that God wants you to be. I think we ought to start living this way in the church, an undefeated mentality. I'm going to exercise, I'm going to activate what God has established. Is that not maturity in the faith? I'm going to activate what God has already what? Established. Well, let's see what God's established. How many of y'all glad to know that God loves you? Come on, work with me now this morning. I'm going to wake y'all up. How many of y'all glad to know that God loves you? How many of y'all glad to know this? God loves you in spite of what you've done.
Amen.
The undefeated mentality. Now, I want y'all to get this stuff stirred up. You know why? There's a little bit of lull going on in here today because here's why. If you really apply this to your life, we'll have a totally different church. We'll be a totally different group of people. Here's what the devil wants us to be. Average Christians. Because the devil's done a survey, the research is in, and he's found already in American culture that average Christians don't affect the culture. I'll give you a fact. Average Christianity in America has very little impact on the world today. That means basically this. Show up, go to church, read some religious books, and go on by.
What would happen, though, if we activated the potential that we are a part of today? What would happen to us?
If we came to realize that God truly has forgiven every one of our sins and we're filled with His love, we are touched by His compassion, and we are capable of His possibilities.
Now, Chris Allen, there's a thunderstorm. You can call that one. It will make what? Impact. Impact.
Well, let's look at 1 John. What's the greatest of these? First of all, I want to give us some mentalities today. These are spiritual mentalities that will change your life. How many of y'all sometimes need to change your way of thinking? How many of y'all ever try this? I'm going to change my actions. I'm not going to do that again. Okay, I'm going to just give you just a heads up. You'll never change your actions till you change your thinking. Your actions aren't your problem. You don't ever just go act. We all what before we act? We all think. Sometimes we just don't think well before we act. Does that make sense? You say, well, how do you know it's true? Well, if you go to Romans, or if you were to flip over to Romans 12, It tells us this, Romans 12:12 tells us that after we come to know Jesus Christ, we got to be in a process of having our mind what? Renewed. Why? Because I guarantee you, a lot of us still think defeated. And so what am I trying to get through to you today? You and I in Jesus Christ are not what? That was pretty weak. Sounds like you almost believe it. We are not what? We're not defeated. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to lose. Come on, y'all practice that. I'm not going to lose. Girls, I'm not going to lose. Y'all going to lose? Y'all are not going to lose. Isn't that great? Ladies, this is great before finals to come into it with this kind of mentality. I shall not, I will not, I'm not going to make an F. Why? Because in the name of Jesus Christ, since the semester started, I've been responsible. What if you go into finals like that? Oh, I bet some of you thought that being undefeated allowed you to do nothing. No, the mentality of living undefeated engages you to do everything. I'll show you. Look what Jesus did. Now, this is how we know what love is. You got to come, how in the world do we know what love is? Let me tell you one thing love is not. You ready? A feeling. Now, apparently this is a problem. I get people to come to my office and they say, Pastor, we're getting a divorce. We've fallen out of love. Well, first of all, they don't know this, but that's an impossibility to fall out of love. Because love is undefeated, and the Bible says that love perseveres. Most of the time what you've fallen out of is lust. But that just sounds bad to come to a pastor's office and go, you know, Pastor, we've fallen out of lust. But that's really the truth. Because you can't fall out of love, but you can fall out of lust. Here's what lust says. Lust says, as long as I feel good hanging out with you, I'm going to stay. And as soon as I cease to feel good with hanging out with you, I leave. Love says we're going to find a way through this no matter what. See the difference? I just want you to know the difference because we got a lot of people confused. Okay? Love is not just a feeling. Somebody say amen. And some of you, now see, I look at all the baby boomers going, yes, it is. I have to get that bubble. Alka-Seltzer will cause a feeling. You can drink Alka-Seltzer and get a feeling. That don't mean you got love. You can drink 4 to 6 beers and have a feeling. True? Now, some of y'all just confessed. Yeah, that's right. That's right. About number 4. I feel good. All right. Now, watch. Let me help you. It's more than that. Is everybody getting this? Watch this. You can feel good and live defeated. Or watch this. You can have some bad feelings and be undefeated. I won't be, not A. Now, I'm going to touch on this a minute because a lot of us think love is just a feeling. I've even had people come to church sometimes and go, well, I'm going to have to leave that church because I just don't feel it. Guess what God's response is to that? So? God created us to activate love. What's love? Let's see what love is. It's interesting to me how Jesus defines love because it's so much different than how I define love. Watch this. Most of the time if I put any conditions on love, that's the way I'm going to operate love, right? How many of y'all do that to one another? How many of you even said this to the kids that you love so much? Well, now, if you go do that, I love you. Don't ever say that. Just say, I love you. If you really want to know Jesus, I love you. I just love you. Especially if you've got adolescent kids. I love you in spite of you being crazy. Now, this is going to happen. I'm going to tell you what this parenting teaches us how God loves us. It's easy to love babies. Why? They're cute. They smell good. They don't talk yet. This is the great advantage they have. So if they don't talk yet, they can't talk back yet. How many of you all found, though, in parenting that you hit adolescents, 12 to 16, someone there? And all of us have been through this, so do not be critical on adolescents, okay? Just remember, most of the time when you're disturbing the kid for acting really bad, you're looking at how you used to act, and it amplifies the situation. Make sense? Sometimes I look at Blake and I go, memories. And I just smile. He goes, that's going to work. I say, you go make it work. You go make it work. And then he goes, well, you don't think it's going to work? I say, I know it's not going to work, but go ahead. You know all things. Well, what's to love one another? It's to lay down your life. Look what Jesus Christ did. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 says this. This is how we know what love is. It's how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Now, let me show you what love says. Love says, I want the best out of what is going on. Parents that love their children, they want the best out of their children. Make sense? Come on, you know, what would happen if we reclaimed that in the world of Christ? I want the best for you as your pastor. Watch this. I will let you feel bad to get you to your best. Am I loving? Come on, let's talk about it a minute. This is a current event. I live in a world today that says if you offend anybody, it's a crisis. But yet Jesus said, I'm willing to totally offend myself so somebody else would get better. How do we come to reason these two opposing philosophies where Jesus says, give it up so the world may bless, and the world says, get it all before you're out of here? Isn't that really what the world says? How many of y'all have heard this before? It's about you. It's about you. It's all about you. Come on, isn't that the world we live in? Every commercial, what does it tell me? It's about me. If I drive a Lexus that can parallel park itself, I have arrived. Now, if you got one of those, praise God, that's really cool. I'd love to see you parallel park, no hands. But that doesn't mean you love. That just means you have a Lexus that can parallel park itself. Make sense? There's something greater than love. Jesus says, I'm going to lay down my life. Look at here. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That means the people around us. So when does love activate? When I lay it down. Okay? Now, girls, y'all going to get married one day. Does that make sense? Give me a head nod. Yeah? I'm not talking next week. I'm talking a while. You better find a man that knows how to lay it down. If not, guess what? And don't y'all bring these into my office. I've seen them. They do not work. I'm an old man and I have gray. You know how many times I've seen this go on? Here comes a pretty little old girl just out of college. And she's dragging one of these renegades with her. Well, the reason that I know he's a renegade is I know this type of male real well. I am very familiar with their destiny. Most of them were my friends. And I asked him, I said, brother, you got a relationship with Jesus Christ? No, man, I didn't do that church thing. I just want to get married, preacher. That's all I want to do. I want to get married. I hang out. You know how it is. I'm just hanging out, man. I just do my thing, man. I'm going to be all right. I'm doing my thing. I'm a good man, man. I don't hurt nobody. I ain't killed nobody. I just do my thing. And that little girl over there, she's just like this all the time. And then she goes, Pastor Steve, will you marry us? And I go, no. And then I've even had pretty little girls speak in very known tongues that I've heard very clearly before. And they were mad because I wouldn't do what they want, because here's what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to break a biblical principle that was going to curse their life. Because I've seen this about 14,000 zillion times. Where this pretty little girl, she marries this guy who's not a believer in Jesus Christ, who doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ, but yet she really is in love with Jesus Christ because she's genuinely saved. And so she marries this guy, and then she finds out that this guy's never at home, and this guy's all about himself, and he won't lay down his life. And then guess what? They're back in my office 3 years later, and they have fallen out of love. I wonder how that happened. Because love was impossible in their situation from the get-go. Because you can't love yourself and love somebody else. Eventually, you got to say, wait a minute, I want to go beyond where I am into where God would allow me to be. And that's this, in grace. In grace. There's a new Turner baby in the house. Cassie, how much did you all immediately love him? And how long did it take? Which is, God has that same love for us. Isn't that neat? Instantly, when we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins, He goes, you're mine. And then what does God want? He wants the absolute best for us. On what? Get the word. Undefeated. 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 I'm going to live for God because God wants to live out of me. And God wants to show the world through us how much He loves us. Amen? So I want to give you the attitude. First attitude is, I got to lay it down to love it through. I got to lay it down to love it through. Y'all got that one? We're going to go in rhythms today, and we're fixing to book and cook. We got the setup. What word do we want injected into our souls, hearts, and minds today? What? What are we in Jesus Christ? Now, if we start activating, this is going to drive the world crazy. Ladies, you ought to be with me today. How many of y'all want your husband to love you in such a way that he'll lay it down? Okay, about four of you. I would like to see more of you get excited about this. Watch this. Husbands, I want to talk to you. Engage. Wives, y'all need to lay it down too. How many of y'all ever get caught up in so much stuff you forget to be home? See, it's about laying it down so other things get better. Here's the mentality. If you'll make this switch, who was Jesus allowing to be recognized in his life? This is tough. Who was Jesus releasing in his life in love? The Father. And here's what the Father does. The Father loves you. He graces you. How many of y'all glad that God's full of grace? I'm sure glad God didn't say this. If you break the Ten Commandments, you're going to hell and ain't nothing you can do about it. Well, I'm done from the get-go. I mean, they got one in there that says, honor your father and mother. Well, Lord, I've been going to hell since I was 2 years old. As soon as I could talk, I dishonored my mother and father. How many of y'all had that problem? I mean, as soon as I could talk, I guarantee you I did this. My mama said, will you do that? And I said, no. And then I started saying something like this. About 2 or 3 years old in my life, I started saying something like this. I don't know if any of y'all did this. Mine. How many of y'all did that? If you go in the 2 and 3 year old class over here, guess what they do in there? They'll grab a, you know, whatever toy they got out now. Huh? What toys are out now? I'm out of toy business. I remember Barney. That's all. I'm still not over that from my childhood. Barney. Barney haunts me in my dreams. Barney almost cost me a TV one day. I just wanted to go shoot the TV. I just got so tired of this purple dragon going, I love you, you love me. Let's be one happy family. And I go to churches and the pastor needs to dress up just like Barney because he sounds just like Barney. He's just like, if you'll follow Jesus, we all just love one another and we'll hold hands and sing kumbaya and everything's going to be all right. And I'm going, what Bible did you get that out of? Because that's not the one I read. The one I read says that we're all sinners, man, and we struggle with great pain in life. And Jesus Christ had to come and die and lay down His life and suffer real pain so that we could really repent and say, God, I'm sorry for the way I'm living, and I believe I can live undefeated, and I can believe I can live differently in You. So I'm going to give my sinful life to You. I'm going to lay what I think is right down so I can pick up what You've designed. Is that not really the activity of God in our lives? And He goes on and He says, this is what we got to do. We got to activate our possibilities. How many of y'all realize you got to use your potential? I got a lot of potential in my office. I got this square thing in my office called a computer. It's got a lot of potential. The other staff members on our staff here at Pastors tell me I could do all kinds of things with that computer. And they tell me, they say, you know, you could just reply with me if you punch this key, that key, that key, and come over to this key, punch it 3 times, and it'll send all that out. You know what I tell them? I can walk down the hall and tell you what I need and walk back to my office quicker, and I can do all that. Now, that's just me. But now, these guys are computer good. They could probably launch the shuttle from their office here at Hillview, okay? But, guess what? I have the potential sitting in my office. Why is that potential not utilized? Because I've chosen not to activate it. Now, I could probably sit down and really learn. I mean, I can do email now. I've come a long way. You know. I don't like email, though. You know what I don't like about email? Because people talk real big on email. I have found this. People are a lot bigger in email than they are face-to-face. I've had people say things in email they will not say to me in person. It's interesting, isn't it? Get all bold. Some kind of electronic thing happens to you. You become like electronically, you know, invincible. Then when I found out where that email address is attached to, we're back to reality. Let's talk together. It's what? Human beings that need to reason together. Well, let's look at here. Now, here's what he says in verse 17. He talks about God gave it up. He laid it down so we could go on. And then he says, now, let's activate God's potential. How do we do that? If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? You know, here's what he's saying. First of all, how many of y'all are glad to know that God's given us a lot of material possessions? Come on, go ahead and praise Him. But how many of y'all are thankful for that? Now, look at here. I want to show you something. God doesn't say it's wrong to have material possessions right up here on the big screen Bible. He says if anyone has material possessions, you know what I believe? God does give believers material possessions. But they're not for our glory, but to be used for what? anyone who has need. Now, guess what? In America, we all have stuff. Can I break this verse down simple for you? God says, if you love me, use your stuff. Use your stuff for my glory. Use what I've given you for my glory. Use what you have for my glory. Let me preach a minute. That means if you come from my house, meet Jesus. This is what he does. If you ride in my car, meet Jesus. This is what he does. If you come to my job site, this is what he does. Take what you have been given and bless the world. That's the love of God. That's the power of God. That's the activation of God. Amen? Use it all. The Lord's blessed me a pretty nice truck. My kids that I coach, they love to ride in my truck. If I take them home, they get in the truck. When they get in the truck, they'll go, hey, coach, it's a really nice truck. I said, you know what? If you go to college and you go to graduate school and you go to postgraduate school, I bet you can drive a truck just like this. Now, what's God done with that? He's taken this truck that they might be attracted to, and he's opened up an opportunity to teach people that, guess what? If you will work, you can be there. But then guess what I teach them? This truck is absolutely a non-essential. The truck's not important. It's what you did. There's some things that come along your way when you give your best, and I'm not going to let up on that. And here's what Jesus is saying. Bless people along the way. You see somebody in need, this doesn't work. God bless you. God bless you. May the Lord have mercy on you. May I'm going to take this to the church and get them to pray for you. Guess what Jesus said? If you love them, address the need immediately. Don't walk away when I've provided for you. And you know what I found? God will bless givers. Check me on this. I've never seen anybody that will give out to make a difference lack for. Have you all? Now, I've seen some people that gave away. I'm not talking about giving away. I'm talking about giving out. Giving out of the mercy of God, the power of God, the purposes of God, giving so that somebody else will be better. Have you ever seen those kind of folk run out? I hadn't either. Now, I've seen people run out who were glorifying themselves or who were giving to others to glorify themselves. But you know what? If you're giving out so that others may be better in Christ, God will keep that funded. Amen? So here's what he's saying there. In your love, let your material possessions illustrate the love of what? God. And keep them in perspective, because material possessions, are they going to be here forever? Okay, you got to know that. Okay? They come, they go. That's the way they go. That's why we have yard sales. If material possessions were wonderful, we'd never have yard sales. People would keep all that stuff. But what we do is we sell that stuff to get a new load of stuff, because somewhere in our mind we're like, we're going to get some stuff one time that we really liked. It'll bless our lives. Well, we got some of that stuff. It's called the love of God in your life. Your sins have been forgiven. You're undefeated. You're activated by God. Help others get better. You got the mentality? Let me ask you a question. For just a moment, can you imagine our whole church being committed to helping other people get better? What would happen in this place? Woo! I want y'all to get dangerous as believers. People come to you and say, what's the matter with you? Don't get too close to me, you're going to get better. Don't get too close to me, I'll love the hell out of you. What if we had that kind of attitude? I'm not cussing. I'm really telling the truth. If you don't have Jesus Christ in you, what mentality do you have in you? This may be true for some. If you don't have Jesus Christ in you, what is in you? Hell! You think like hell, you function like hell, and you live like hell. Guess why that is? Sheriff, most of the time you aren't picking up people full of heaven, are you? I didn't think so. Now, we don't know what to do with people that are full of heaven, because they run around getting through the storm that nobody else can get through. They become mysteries in difficult moments. We've got to get rid of this stuff. God wants it done. Now, dear children, guess what he said? Don't let us just love with our words and our tongues, but with actions and in truth. Twofold mentality. Okay, you got it? We're going to be undefeated. You got to lay it down to make it happen. You got to use what's in your hand to bless others. And then guess what? You got to love in two facets, okay? You got to love in action and in what? Truth. I see the church on two sides of that fence. I see a lot of action, no truth, and I see a lot of truth, no what?
This is a both and deal. Action and truth. It's what I'm fixing to do, the truth of God. Here's three things you'll never go wrong in as you follow God, okay? If you're sharing Jesus Christ with someone, God will always be in there in that activity because He said He wants you to go do that. Amen? That's action and what? Truth. Okay, you ready? Helping folks that are in trouble. Jesus is there. You go to Matthew chapter 25. Guess what He says? When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was sick, you came and you prayed over me. You know, you loved me. When I was naked, what did you do? That's a good thing, isn't it? When I was a stranger, what did you do? You loved, you welcomed, amen. All right. When I was thirsty, what did you do? Gave me a drink. So guess what Jesus tells us? In the activity of taking care of daily needs, Jesus says, I am there in presence. I am there in presence. I'm always there in presence. And watch this. And we're two or more gathered. We're two or more gathered. What did God say? Anybody know that scripture? There I am also. So I know three places God's activity is always stirred up. If I'm sharing my faith, God's with me. I know that God's activity is stirred up. If I'm taking care of needs that are surrounding me, God's activity is stirred up. And if I'm gathered with His people, the potential of God's activity is stirred up. Amen? Now think about this two or more gathered. Where can that happen? Everywhere. Good. How many of y'all get that everywhere? So let me help you with this mentality of love. When we come together on Sunday morning, we're just having a gathering. We have church 7 days a week. I mean, you got to get by the water fountain. Y'all got those water fountains now with that cool water? You know, you push it with the button, you get around there at work, have a little church. In the break room, have a little what? At the teacher planning lounge, have a little what? Out on the ball field, have a little what? There you go. At your house, what do you need to have? Every once in a while, you just need to call a family meeting and say, we're going to have some church here. After dinner, we're going to have church. Well, how do you have church? You love one another. Jesus Christ has loved you. You tell those kids, we're going to have some church. I'm going to put some church on you. I'm going to love you like God's made you to be. That's a great parent. And he goes on and he tells us this. He says, you know what? Love in our hearts. And then what does he tell us? We got to move on. This then is how we know we belong to the truth. How in the world do we know this is real? Look at here. You ready? How do we know it's real? And how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. How many of y'all realize this? Ready? This is how you know what's going to happen. When our hearts condemn us. How many of y'all, your heart ever tells you, uh-oh, that's not what you need to be about? You know why? Because that's not who you are. How many are glad to know, when you really truly believe in Jesus Christ, God will keep you out of trouble. Now I want you to get this truth, okay? When your heart condemns you now as a believer in Jesus Christ, it will no longer be guilt. You know why? Because guilt keeps you from activating what? Truth and action. What does guilt make you do? Come on, another thing about it. How many of y'all have gotten guilty before? Anybody here get guilty? We may not even get guilty anymore. We're just so calloused anymore. But how many of y'all still get guilty? You go, oh, I've blown it. How many of y'all ever just blow it? How many of y'all have ever done a big one? For some reason, there's big sins and little sins, but it's really just sin. But people think, you know, I hear church people tell me all the time, they go, well, I'll tell you what, this is a big sin, preacher. They did a big one. Well, I said, they're all big. No, this is a big one. It's one of the big ones. You know, it really don't matter how you get to hell. You know, people are funny all the time. They go, when that guy over here, he had adultery. Well, guess what? He's going to be right beside that religious bigot that never surrendered to Jesus Christ. Yeah. There'll be a lot of church people in hell. Going, how did I get here? Because you never followed Jesus Christ. You did it your way. How did I get here? I never repented of my sin, believed in Jesus Christ. How did I get here? I never took care of anybody else but myself. How did I get here? I believed in my religious system more than the man named Jesus, who was the Son of God, who died on the cross and rose from the grave. How did I get here? I forgot to let Jesus what? Love me. Now, whenever our hearts condemn us, our hearts go, bing! This is not who you are. How many of y'all glad you get uncomfortable? All right? Watch this. Guilt makes you look at you. Conviction makes you look at who you are. See the difference? Guilt
makes you look at you. Conviction makes you look at who you are. Now, who are you? Girl, you a child of God. What do you think about that? What do you think? Boom. Guess what you stand with? All the potential God has given any human being. Wow. Huh. What if we really live like that? I don't always live like that. I wish I could tell you as a pastor, I always remember that. But guess what? I don't know about y'all, but the devil talks to me. Y'all ever have the devil talk to you? And he tells me what I'm not all the time. How many of y'all have that? In fact, I have weird things happen to me. I can have just a great moment with God, be driving down the road, and get a thought in my mind that, I mean, it should not be there. Any of y'all have this problem? I'm the only one that struggles with this.
No, all the time.
I mean, thinking like you go, where did that come from? I hadn't thought about that in 20 years.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
What? And the more, God, I just want to bless so-and-so. Where did, what? Now, guess what? That may be why the Scripture totally encourages me to take every thought what?
Captive.
Because some of those thoughts are going to come into my head to make me look at who I am. Because the devil's not a dummy. He realizes if I start looking at who I am, I'll forget really who I am.
Come on.
You see, I'm a child of God. Now, as a child of God, I have authority over the devil. As a child of God, guess what? I already know great things can come out of my life. As a child of God, I know I can live undefeated. As a child of God, what can happen? What can happen as a child of God? You ready? Anything! What happens when I just look at myself? I'm limited to what I know, what I've seen, what I've experienced. And that's very minute compared to what God has in store for me. Y'all see how this operates? Well, let's close it up today. Have you learned something? How many of y'all going to live undefeated? Why are you going to live undefeated? Huh? Come on, you said it. Huh? Love, because you loved. Absolutely. What else? Why are you going to live undefeated? You love. Why are you going to live undefeated? You're children of God. You are made by God. Look at your name and go, God made you. Come on, confess out today. God made you. Come on. Shout it out a little bit. God made you. Come on. Work with it.
God made you.
Isn't that great? God made him to wiggle. It's okay, Mom and Dad. Huh? God made you. Now, really, let's sum this thing up. How's it come together? You ready? Whenever our hearts condemn us, how many of y'all ever feel that? Oh, not supposed to be there. Ooh, not supposed to look. Hey, you young ladies, how many of y'all, when you go out on dates, you go, God, could this be it? Young men, how many of y'all, listen, you better start praying. Those of y'all that are getting ready to date and get married along the way, hey, I want you to have good, blessed marriages. Look at this. It starts in dating. Guys, you meet a girl. Now, listen, here's the problem with a guy. You'll look at her before you do anything. And I want you to know that God has created some beautiful women physically that can drive you absolutely insane. They'll be gorgeous, but they'll be mean as a rattlesnake. If you look at a rattlesnake in the sunlight, it looks pretty too. But it will bite you. And a lot of times these women have rattles too. They'll go, shh. That means warning. If you'd like to have any peace in your life, get away from me. And girls, you need to go check her fathers out. And if they have fathers that look like this, this is not a good sign. Girls do the same thing. Go look at that dude's mother, and if she's going, could be a warning sign. I'm kind of having a little fun with you, but I want you to get serious. How many of y'all pray? Girls, do y'all pray? God, is that the man I need to have in my life? And if you're going to be a woman of God, do not compromise for a bum. Girls, let me just give you a heads up. If he ain't got a job by the time he's 27, there's your sign. And let me tell you what, if he's one of these that's still finding himself, I know everybody's finding themselves now. If he's busy finding himself and he ain't got time to love you, he'd be 50 finding himself. He'd be out in an RV somewhere up on a mountain finding himself. Problem is, you'd be at home with three kids trying to raise them. Am I making sense here? These are things I see on Fox News. CNN, CNBC, cartoons. These are observations I'm making in the paper. People have forgotten a lot of simple things that are very effective. Here's the last one. Don't ever forget this, no matter what you're going through. Our God, for God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. How many of y'all glad to know you worship a God today that knows everything? And God knows you can get through it. God knows He'll hold on. And God knows you're going to be successful even though you don't what? Come on, use the word. Feel like you're going to be. I want you to hear another side. Feelings are the most overrated thing I've ever seen in my life. Notice the Bible did not call us to our feelings. It did not say love in feeling and in truth. It said you go give the actions and God will show you how to bring it through. That doesn't mean you're going to be hard-nosed. It means you're going to be in the truth and you're going to be set free. Amen? Here's the truth. Jesus Christ loves every one of y'all. Why? It doesn't matter. He does. Why does God love all of us? Because He does. Because God is love. And today, guess what He'd love to do? He'd like to forgive every one of you. So how many of y'all today are going to say, Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me. Come into my life. Come into my life today. Come into my life. How many of y'all been going to church for years, but it's never been real because you just go to church? Just sit there at church. Boy, I did that for you. Just sit there at church. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we go to praise and worship church. So we go, whoo, ha, boom. We're out of here. We go, man, I had a stimulating time at church. So, did you find truth, love, and action? Did you say, Lord Jesus Christ, pour into my life the truth? How many already live undefeated? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Go ahead and say it. Forgive me of my what? That's what this means. Lord, I've messed up all the time, but I believe You're a God that will forgive me. I believe You're a God that is loving me, and I want You in my life. Ask Him today. Let me ask you a question. Why would you sit in hell a day longer than you have to? I get friends of mine like that, Lenny. I say, hey, man, Jesus Christ wants to love you and forgive you. Well, I'll tell you what. I understand that might be a good idea. It's a good thing, you know. Lord, that sounds like a good message. I'd like to have Jesus in my life, but I need to think on it for about 6 weeks. I go, so you want to stay in hell 6 weeks longer? Don't make sense. Today is the day of salvation. Once you ask Jesus to come in your life and give you sins, He loves us that much. Now, church, how many of y'all really living undefeated? I do it sometimes. But through this sermon, God really convicted me. Man, this is the way y'all live. Everybody's got a possibility. Everybody's got a hope. And so, how many of y'all need to come and say, dear Jesus, I really do believe in You, and I know I'm saved. I know I got You in my life, and I know You're real, but I really need to activate this action and truth thing that You told me about today. I need to live this out in everything I'm about. What would happen to you? Wow. So, just asking you to stand right now, and you know what? Let God have His way with you today. Amen. Balcony, you know what I love about this place? We finally got some steps in here that work. You can walk right down those steps and be right here at the altar, and it's quick. It's quick. Everybody's got the same distance to the altar. Huh, that's kind of spiritual. You ready? Let's pray. Let's come to the altar today. I want you to pray that we would, as a church, just be more loving than we've ever been. Amen? You ready? Lord? There are going to be some folks today that You've drawn. Jesus, draw them right now. Okay, if you feel the Lord, you know the Lord's speaking to you right now. Why don't you ask Him, Lord, I believe You love me. I believe You died for me. I believe You'd live in me. And Jesus, right now, I want to tell You, I've done some wrong things. I absolutely know it. I'm a sinner. And Jesus, I ask You to forgive me. I'm going to take You for being for real, Jesus. I'm going to ask You to forgive me, and I believe You will. So if you can pray that, why don't you come and pray that today? If you've never been baptized, it's time to be baptized. Come as an adult and say, Lord Jesus, I know You in my life and I want to confess that in baptism, conscious of it. Maybe you need to come today and just say, God, thank You for loving me. Hey, look at me just a second. I want to ask you guys a question. How many of y'all are living an incredible life because Jesus is in your life? I mean, just an incredible life. Well, what would be wrong with coming to this altar and saying, I praise You, Lord, for an incredible life. I've had an incredible week. In spite of all the crazy things that have gone on in the world, I just really know Your presence. You know, it's cool. I keep looking at y'all today, but you know what is so cool? I don't have a clue with what God's going to do with you all. Do you? That's what's fun. New babies in the house. Who knows? Who knows what God's going to do? And so I think there's times we just have an altar of praise. God, thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for loving people. Thank you for loving Bowling Green. How many of y'all need to praise God and say, thank you for what you've given me? I don't think we thank God for what, you know, I'm glad to have a nice house. I'm glad to be, watch this. If you got a house, hallelujah, amen. Now guess what we need to pray for? God, thank you for what you've sent us, allowed us to be a part of. Now let us use it for your glory. Amen. Just let us use what we have for our glory. All right, I'm going to be quiet, but God's speaking to you. Come on and be healed. If you need prayers of healing, come. Let's just open this altar. Amen. I don't know how long it's going to take. Doesn't matter. Just let God have His way. Amen. Lord, I'm just going to ask whoever needs to come, come. And whoever needs to celebrate, come and celebrate. And this altar be opened up right now as a place of prayer in the name of Jesus. All right, you ready? Altar's open. Let's come and get on our knees in action and truth and just celebrate the end of this service with what God's doing in your life. Come on. Especially if you need to be baptized, if you need to ask Christ in your life, if you need to just come and pray. Come on. Guess what? A lot of that week could be changed if you started out right here on this old red carpet. Come on, church. Come on.